On the other hand, when we look at the holy book of Quran, we see that this Quran has also a philosophy behind it. And the philosophy of Quran is the guidance that has been said in the Quran, that Allah said that I have sent this Quran for the guidance. This is the book of guidance for the mankind. On the other hand, when we look at the Hajj, where every Muslim is gathered and it becomes wajib, it is an obligation on the Muslims. This is because there is a philosophy, and the philosophy is also the guidance. So Imam Khomeini says that we need to put all our efforts to revive these two, the spirit of Hajj. Now, what is the spirit of Hajj when we talk about Hajj? The spirit of Hajj is not to just go to the Mecca, to walk there, to stay in the desert for the whole night, to stoning the three Saturn pillars which are there, and then coming back. This is the apparent picture of the Hajj. The hidden side of the Hajj is that we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The bigger picture is that we need to feel Hajj. We need to feel that this is the place where I need to learn. It is the school where I have come to learn something. And the lesson which I need to learn, that is important. And the lesson is to say no to every rebel, to say no to the arrogant powers, to say no to the oppression, to say no to the terrorism, to say no to everything that is falsehood, and say yes and be submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi, sallallahu alayhi. When Imam talks about the Quran, the spirit of the Quran, the spirit of Quran is the guidance. If we want guidance, we must take it from the Quran. There were many times where the original shape or the face of Hajj, there were people who wanted to change it. But we see that Imams or A'imma or the infallible leaders, they brought it back, they revived it. Therefore, we must revive Hajj in our lives. We must give importance to this. And if we do Hajj in the young age, that is better than doing it in the old age.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Under the starry sky of the desert, from the very heart of evergreen forests, with the radiance of silver-colored sand, in the midst of proud mountains, closer, Iran,
Salam. I'm a nature enthusiast and traveler. In Close Up Iran, I introduce you to the wonders and beauties of my country, Iran. Stay with me.
Thank God. The flight gate is still open. I am now at the airport and I'm late as always. I'm going to travel to the holy city of Mashhad in order to go on a pilgrimage to the holy shrine of Imam Reza on his birth anniversary. I'll pray for you. The holy shrine of Imam Reza, peace upon him, is located in Mashhad, Khorasan Razavi province, northeastern Iran. This shrine has long been by far the most visited religious destination in Iran, attracting millions of domestic and international pilgrims each year. The holy shrine of Imam Reza in Mashhad is a complex which contains the mausoleum of Imam Reza, peace upon him, the 8 infallible era of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Also contained within the complex are the Goharshad Mosque, a museum, a library, 4 seminaries, a cemetery, the Razavi University of Islamic Sciences, a dining hall for pilgrims, vast prayer halls, and other buildings. Imam Reza's holy shrine is the most significant element giving identity to the urban area of Mashhad. The spiritual tradition of pilgrimage to the holy shrine of Imam Reza, peace upon him, has been registered on the National Intangible Cultural Heritage List by Iran's Ministry of Cultural Heritage, Tourism and Handicrafts. Here I am in my hotel room. I had a nice flight and it feels great to be here in this spiritual atmosphere. This is one of my special trips ever. It's unique. unique because it's more a spiritual one to make a pilgrimage to the holy shrine of Imam Reza, peace upon him. 2 days later, it happens to be the birth anniversary of Imam Reza, so I chose this date for my trip. You know, every year, on the occasion of the birth anniversary of Imam Reza, Mashhad gets brimmed over with so many domestic and foreign pilgrims. It's worth it being here, though. So I take a little rest and then I get ready to go on a pilgrimage to the holy shrine. I've caught a taxi to the holy shrine of Imam Reza. This city is full of positive energy. The shops are open until late at night, selling special souvenirs of Mashhad. Everything is lively in this city. Golden Dome Shrine is appearing. Assalamu alaik, ya Ali ibn Musa Reza. I can't believe I finally reached here. Thank God. On the occasion of the birth anniversary of Imam Reza, peace upon him, the holy shrine is decorated with flowers and colorful lights. It's so great. More than 300,000 flowers donated by flower growers throughout Iran have been used to decorate the holy shrine. I And the flag of the dome of the holy shrine of Imam Reza will change on the anniversary of his birth. Ceremonies of the day of the birth anniversary include poetry reading and performances, and being covered live by Iranian national TV and social networks of the Holy Shrine during the ceremony. Here you can see people from all walks of life, from different Iranian cities and even different nationalities. Arabs, Indians, Africans, from all over the world. They all have come here to pay homage to this peerless personality, to Ali ibn Musa Reza, peace upon him. I'd better talk less and start reciting the special salutation of Imam Reza, peace upon him.
Allahumma salli ala Ali ibn Musa Reza al-Murtaza. Al-Imam al-Taqi al-Nabi. وحجتك على من فوق الأرض ومن تحت الثرى يا الصديق الشهيد صلاة كثيرة تامة زاكية متواصلة متواترة مترادفة كأفضل ما صليت على أحد من أوليائك.
Actually, I don't change any place in the world with this patch of paradise. Much has been said about the good morals of Imam Reza, which is a lesson for us. For example, he never hurt others with his words. He did not interrupt anyone while speaking. He helped the needy a lot. He always had a smiling face. He never laughed with a loud voice. He always visited the patients. He was patient as well. And etc. These were just a few examples related to this personality, and there are many lessons for us to learn. Heartiest congratulations on the auspicious birth anniversary of Imam Reza, peace upon him.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
It's a moment that will surely be marked in history books. The Syrian President Bashar al-Assad being welcomed back to the Arab League after an 11-year absence, an absence that was forced on it due to the war in Syria by Daesh terrorists were supported by some of the very same countries present at the summit. Now times have changed, and all countries in the region have normalized ties with Syria. The U.S. support for Daesh terrorists was not so much a quest for democracy for Syrians, as the U.S. stated, but more of an obsession to oust the democratically elected president of Syria, Bashar al-Assad. So for U.S. allies like Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and the rest of the GCC countries of the Persian Gulf, even Jordan, to embrace the Syrian president is surely a slap in the face of the U.S. Just like how Iran and Saudi Arabia reconciled after years of hostility, another colossal event which, according to the CIA director, the U.S. was blindsided by this major development. U.S. blindsided by Iran-Saudi rapprochement surely puts into question the weak level of U.S. intel on the ground in West Asia, but not accepting these realities just makes the U.S. isolated and detached from reality. As such, the U.S. is reacting, and true to U.S. behavior, it is doing so against international law. It has been reported that the U.S. has started to build a new military base in the northern province of Raqqa. When it comes to the U.S. illegal occupation of Syria, there are currently at least 24 U.S.-led coalition military sites spread throughout Syria's northeast. The largest base housing U.S. troops is the Al Omar Field. The oil field in Deir al-Zour province is Syria's largest and has a presence of U.S. personnel and the YPG-PKK terrorist group. Then there is the Al-Tanf, also known as the Al-Tanf Garrison. It is a U.S. military base, but the territory is controlled by the so-called Syrian opposition in Homs Governorate. Overall, the U.S. is occupying roughly a third, or 33%, of Syrian territory. What are U.S.'s main goals in Syria? Brett McGurk, the White House coordinator for the Middle East and North Africa, said the U.S. had four main objectives in Syria: to reduce violence, maintain military pressure on Daesh, address Syria's humanitarian crisis, and to support Israel. Except for the last goal, the U.S. has not achieved any of those stated aims. The U.S. stated goal of eradicating Daesh terrorists rings hollow. For starters, how could the U.S. not eliminate about 1,000 Daesh terrorists since the year 2016, when they first occupied Syrian soil? That is because they are using these terrorists against the Assad government, with the outdated notion of regime change. There are also reports that the U.S. trains these terrorists to use them in places like Afghanistan or other countries. Meanwhile, the U.S. is also stealing Syrian oil and selling it in the black market to provide finances for the YPG Kurdish forces and also for forces inside Iraq, since, in terms of the YPG Kurdish forces, they had supported them with the promise of partitioning an area for them in northern Syria. But the real purpose of the U.S. presence in Syria, as it has stated, to support Israel with the aim of targeting Iran, who is in Syria with the consent of the Syrian government. Both the U.S. and Israel need a wake-up call. The geopolitical shifts in the region have proven one thing: there is no need for the U.S. presence there. All countries have normalized with each other, except for maybe Yemen and Saudi Arabia, who are on course to do so. And when it comes to the security of the region, after Iran and Saudi Arabia's normalization, there is a united front that has been formed, where regional countries have stated that they will ensure their own security. There may have been a time when countries like Saudi Arabia may have sought U.S. assistance and even paid them to provide it with their security, which also included weapon sales, but those days are over. Also gone are the days when the U.S. created Iranophobia to scare regional countries into buying U.S. weapons, with the false notion that Iran was a bad actor. West Asian countries have realized that it is the U.S. and Israel who are now the bad actors in the region. This warning to the U.S. military by the commander of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, Navy, perhaps states it best when he said, "You are damn wrong to be in our region." A new report has shed light on the covert military operations of the UK's army around the world. The report by The Guardian says Britain's special forces have carried out secret operations in 19 countries over the past 12 years. The countries where British forces involved in included Nigeria, the Philippines, and Russia, as well as in Syria, Ukraine, and most recently Sudan. 11 out of the 19 countries where UK special forces operated secretly were Muslim nations. The elite military units operate in secret without ministers publicly confirming their activities. But a research group, Action on Armed Violence, has compiled a list of their activities since the year 2011 based on media leaks. It says the members of the Special Air Force, Special Boat Service, and Special Reconnaissance Regiment were repeatedly deployed by the Prime Minister and Defense Secretary to conduct high-risk missions, typically where the UK is not at war. Special forces were particularly active in Syria. They reportedly entered the country in 2012 to help anti-Damascus groups fight against President Bashar al-Assad. Reports say that they were also sent to Syria in 2013 to identify military targets in advance of a bombing campaign which was to be conducted by the UK. That bombing campaign was vetoed by members of the parliament.
Senior defense sources have told Newsnight that Britain did, in fact, have a secret plan for intervening in Syria. It was the brainchild of General David Richards, Britain's most senior officer, who told Downing Street there were only two ways of ending the bloodshed quickly. The first was to let Assad win. The second was to defeat him. To defeat him, he recommended training and equipping a substantial army of Syrian rebels.
In Ukraine, the Pentagon documents leaked earlier this year showed that 50 members of UK special forces were in the former Soviet Republic, alongside Kiev forces fighting against Russia. By contrast, the numbers from the US and France were listed as 14 and 15, respectively.
The United Kingdom has unlocked a number of packages in the last year. We're going further. Beginning of this week, I announced to Parliament that we will send a squadron of Challenger 2 main battle tanks to Ukraine. We will send at least three batteries of AS-90 155 long-range deep-fire artillery. We will send a number of armoured vehicles, including the, I think it's the Bulldog, which is a variant of the old 432 armoured personnel carrier, thousands of rounds of ammunition. And today I can say we're also going to send another 600 Brimstone missiles into theatre, which will be incredibly important in helping Ukraine dominate the battlefield.
The report further said the deployments depict a lack of insight by Parliament. While MPs have to vote for a war, special forces can be deployed without Commons' approval, and their actions are not subject to investigation by any parliamentary committee. Major military acts of war conducted by UK special forces must be approved by the British Parliament. However, small-scale special forces operations can be carried out without MPs' permission and are not subject to committee investigations. The revelation comes at the heels of earlier reports that special British forces killed innocent civilians in Afghanistan. In March this year, a public inquiry began into allegations that the SAS were responsible for 54 summary killings in Afghanistan in 2010 and 2011, typically on night raids. Men were separated from their families and reportedly shot dead after being said to have produced a weapon.
Quite frankly now, the infantry regiments are doing exactly what they're paid for, certainly since the invasion of Iraq. And obviously the operations now in Afghanistan. So therefore, a lot of soldiers are looking at their prospects of going to the Special Air Service for action to get involved in operations. And I say, you know what? I'm doing it already.
Senior military officers have been accused of bearing evidence that British troops were executing detainees in Afghanistan. Apart from Afghanistan, Britain followed Washington's lead against Iraq in 2003. The aggression killed thousands of Iraqis. Meanwhile, the UK policy, detailed, has mandated the military to increase its secret operations in other countries to protect Britain's interests across the globe. The doctrine requires a shift in focus for the future in order to counter Russia and China.
Britain's former Prime Minister has made a controversial trip to the US state of Texas to shore up support for Ukraine. The Center for European Policy Analysis, or the CEPA, a pro-Ukrainian think tank based in Washington, decided to enlist Johnson to push Republicans to support Ukraine. Pro-Ukraine think tankers brought Johnson to a private lunch in Dallas, Texas, to meet two dozen of the state's leading conservative figures, including politicians, donors, and captains of the industry. Johnson's Dallas trip included a visit with former President George W. Bush, in which the two talked about the war in Ukraine. The former UK Prime Minister flew to Texas as a growing number of conservative lawmakers, candidates, and activists have started to question the size of the US support package for Ukraine. Johnson has been enlisted because he is said to have been very much seen as the architect of the Western policy on Ukraine. Johnson was a staunch backer of the West's proxy war with Russia during his time in office. He also played a crucial role in ditching peace talks that was held in the early days of the conflict. In April 2022, then Prime Minister Johnson traveled to Kiev and urged Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to stop negotiating with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Johnson's visit to the U.S. comes amid the backdrop of rising tensions between Russia and Ukraine's Western supporters. Russia has warned that supplying more destructive and advanced weapons by the U.S. and its allies to Ukraine increases the probability of a nuclear apocalypse. Russia's former president Dmitry Medvedev, who is currently serving as deputy chairman of the Russian Security Council, has said that the more weapons are supplied, the more dangerous the world will be. Earlier this month, the United Kingdom announced during a summit of European leaders that it was working with the Netherlands to build a so-called international jet coalition to help Ukraine obtain F-16 fighter jets from its mostly Western allies.
So apparently they believe that a nuclear conflict or a nuclear apocalypse is impossible because it is never possible. They are wrong. And at some point, events can go completely according to an unpredictable scenario, and the responsibility will lie entirely with the North Atlantic Alliance.
Medvedev's warning came days after American President Joe Biden told fellow G7 leaders in Japan that he supported a joint effort with allies to train Ukrainian pilots on F-16 fighter jets. The U.S. has so far committed $48 billion in military aid and other assistance to Ukraine since the beginning of the war. Washington is the biggest supplier of weaponry to the Ukrainian military. Meanwhile, Russia says it conducted an operation in the border city of Belgorod after Ukraine-based militants staged a sabotage raid there. Russia has said more than 70 attackers were killed in its operation to repel cross-border raiders who entered the country's Belgorod region.
On May 22nd, a unit of the Ukrainian Nationalist Formation invaded the territory of the Russian Federation in the area of the international checkpoint in the Belgorod region. In the course of the counter-terrorist operation, the Nationalist Formations were blocked and defeated by airstrikes, artillery fire, and the active actions of the Western Military District units covering the state border. The remaining Nationalists were driven back to the territory of Ukraine, where they were completely eliminated. More than 70 Ukrainian terrorists were eliminated, as well as machinery and armored vehicles.
Russia says the cross-border sabotage was aimed to divert attention away from Bakhmut and minimize Ukraine's losses in the eastern city, which Russian troops claim to have fully captured. The battle over the city has been described as the heaviest to take place between the Russian and Ukrainian forces since last February.
Papua New Guinea has signed a defense and maritime cooperation agreement with the U.S. during the U.S. Pacific Islands Forum in Port Moresby. The agreement was signed by Defense Minister Win Bakridaki and U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who flew into the country early on Monday in the place of U.S. President Joe Biden. In a meeting with PNG Prime Minister James Morope during the signing ceremony, Blinken said the United States would deepen its partnership across the board with the country.
The Defense Cooperation Agreement, drafted by Papua New Guinea and the United States as equal and sovereign partners, will enhance the PNG's defense forces' capabilities to deliver humanitarian assistance and disaster relief, including through providing medical care and temporary shelter to those who are affected by crises.
Morape, for his part, hailed the deal as a mutually beneficial agreement.
Both sides have agreed that the agreement that we're signing today is doesn't offend Papua New Guinea law, doesn't offend USA law. It's mutually beneficial, especially and for me in the context of Papua New Guinea. It secures our national interest to grow into becoming a robust economy in this part of the world as we live today and going forward.
PNG's Prime Minister, James Morape, said that to implement the deal, there would be an increased presence of U.S. military personnel and contractors over the next 2 years. However, he insisted that the Americans will not establish a U.S. military base on the island. Morape also denied reports that U.S. staff would have legal immunity and said no amendments would be made to the constitution or laws of the country. That's after a leaked draft document suggested Port Moresby has given U.S. personnel and contractors legal immunity, allowing aircrafts, vehicles, and vessels operated by or on behalf of the U.S. to move freely within its territory and territorial waters, and exemptions for U.S. staff from all migration requirements. The U.S. State Department announced the new pact covers security, defense, and maritime surveillance and would provide $45 million to help improve bilateral cooperation, including protective equipment for the Papua New Guinea Defense Force. PNG, with a population of nearly 10 million people, is the most populous Pacific Island nation located just north of Australia. The region has witnessed increasing militarization in past years, raising concerns among civil society groups. They accuse Morape of setting the stage for future hostilities between the U.S. and China. PNG's former Prime Minister Peter O'Neill accused his successor of placing the country at the epicenter of a military storm between China and the U.S. by agreeing to enter into defense agreements with both superpowers without consultation with people. Also, opposition leader Joseph Lelang from the People's National Congress said last week, "We should not be blinded by the dollar sign or be coerced into signing deals that may be detrimental to us in the long run." He said the foreign policy of Papua New Guinea is friends to all and enemies to none. In the midst of growing rivalry between Washington and Beijing in the Pacific region, China has warned against geopolitical games in the South Pacific after the U.S. signed a security agreement with Papua New Guinea.
What we must be vigilant about is the use of cooperation as a pretext for engaging in geopolitical games, and we believe no cooperation should target third parties.
The foreign ministry spokesperson, however, stressed that China has no objection to normal exchanges and equal, mutually beneficial cooperation with Pacific Island nations, including Papua New Guinea. She said any negotiation and cooperation agreement should benefit regional peace, development, and stability. The Pacific nations manage around 20% of the world's oceans. These hugely important maritime routes were used in World War II to transport supplies to Australia and New Zealand. Western interests in the Pacific waned after the war, but Chinese investments in the region have grown. Beijing has worked to strengthen ties with several island nations over the last decade, sending aid and investing in schools, roads, and bridges. However, in recent years, the U.S. has been expanding its military presence in the Pacific as part of its strategic shift to East Asia, where it seeks to contain the growing power of China.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودك ربي بقرآنك جاء
Let's recite the Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
السلام عليكم and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. So, I really welcome you all, Brother Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasser, and Fawad Haider to our today's program. How are you? Fine? Fawad?
Fine, yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Hassan, how about you?
How are
Alhamdulillah.
You?
Thank you. How about Ali Nasser?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah. And Hussein?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Fine? All right. Okay, so today, inshallah, we will talk about ayah 125 and 126 of Surah Ali Imran on page 66. So, brothers and sisters, please turn to page 66, ayah 125 and 126 of Surah Ali Imran. Let's everybody listen.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Bala in. تصبروا وتتقوا ويأتوكم من فورهم هذا يمددكم ربكم بخمسة آلاف من الملائكة مسومين وما جعله الله إلا بشرى لكم ولتطمئن قلوبكم به وما النصر إلا من عند الله العزيز الحكيم.
That was nice recitation. Thank you so much. Now me, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasser will be here with you inshallah to practice the Tajweed rules also and the recitation. But before that, we have to mention some important points. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Allah Almighty in ayah 125 says in the Quran, بَلَا إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا وَيَأْتُوكُم مِّن فَوْرِهِمْ هَذَا يُمْدِدْكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِخَمْسَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُسَوِّمِينَ وَمَا in the next ayah وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَى لَكُمْ وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُكُمْ بِهِ وَمَا النَّصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ So what does Allah Almighty say with us in these two verses? Allah Almighty says, بَلَى Yeah, if you are steadfast, if you are from those who are sabir, alright? Sabr. Patient, tolerate. And God-wary, taqwa, all right? With taqwa. وَيَأْتُوكُم مِّن فَوْرِهِمْ هَذَا And should they come at you suddenly, يُمْدِدُكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ Your Lord will aid you, will help you. بِخَمْسَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُسَوِّمِينَ With 5,000 marked angels. In the next ayah, Allah Almighty says, Allah did not appoint it. Allah did not make it. But what? Allah did not appoint it, but as a good news for you. إِلَّا بُشْرَى لَكُمْ وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُكُمْ بِهِ And to reassure with it your hearts. وَمَنْ نَصْرُ And the victory is not, or the victory comes only from Allah. وَمَنْ نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ The victory is not from anyone except from Allah Almighty. It comes from Allah Almighty. The Allah Almighty who is the Almighty, Al-Aziz, and the All-Wise, Al-Hakim. Alright?
Yes.
So, in the previous two verses that we talked about them, in the previous session, Allah Almighty talked about 3,000 angels who helped the Muslims. In this ayah, Allah Almighty gives us a good news, gives us, actually gives the Muslim, okay? A good news that we assure your hearts with what? With our aids, with our helps, right? With the unseen helps. But there are some conditions that you must have. إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا If you tolerate the hard times, if you tolerate, okay? Basically, Shaitan comes to you, okay, and tells you, hey, you'll get defeated. Stop, never step forward, okay? I'll come and tell you this, right? This is the temptation of Shaitan. But Allah Almighty says, if you tolerate the hard times, no matter you don't have a lot to eat in battlefields, no matter, for example, you suffer a lot of hard times, a lot of difficulties, a lot of, for example, stress or whatever, okay? وَتَتَّقُوا إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا If you tolerate these things, وَتَتَّقُوا and become God-wary, one of the best examples of being with taqwa, having taqwa, being pious, is to tawakkul ala Allah. To do what? To rely, to trust Allah Almighty. That He will help us, right? He will help us. Because we are on the right side, so we'll, for sure we will be the winners. We will be victory. We will achieve victory, all right? So if we have this kind of belief and we tolerate the hard times, Allah Almighty for sure will help us. قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran. So guys, move on, inshallah, for more details and explanations. Search the Tafsir books, look in the Tafsir books, and also the history books, inshallah, okay? So that's all. That's enough. We have to mention some important tajweed rules, then inshallah we'll move on to the recitation. Ready? In the first ayah, the very first important point is the word bala. If you continue and do not make a pause at the word bala, you have to stretch the mat, right? Is it a must? Bala in tasbiru.
No.
It's mustahab. No, it means it is jaiz, actually, right? Mustahab is where you get reward. But here, if you stretch it, there is no point to give your reward. Okay, bala, Allah give me more reward. No. It's not that point, okay? It's all about jaiz or wajib. You should stretch it or not, okay? It's not about thawab or this thing. So, it is jaiz because the alif mat in the word bala and also the hamza in the word in are in
separate words.
In two different words, not in the same word. So, if you join them, stretch the sound or skip the sound. But if you stop, we studied that if we stop, the mad will be skipped. Alright? You don't have to stretch it, so you skip it. Bala. You don't have to say, Bala. No. If you stop, if you make a pause, skip the mad. Bala. Enough. So, Jim says, huh? Jim says what?
It's jaiz to stop.
It's jaiz to stop or continue. Jaiz, Jim jaiz. So, you can continue, connect the two parts, or you can stop. In tasbiru. We had different important rules, for the nun sakin and tanween. One of them was ikhfa. Ikhfa was when the nun sakin or tanween reaches any of the 13 letters, ta, fa, jim, dal, dal, za, sin, sheen, these letters, fa. So ta is one of those letters. It matches one of those letters. So here you hide the sound of nun sakin. So when you say nun, in, your tongue touches the back part of your teeth. In, but when you do the ikhfa, you do not let it touch. It goes to touch, but don't let it touch. Okay? That's hiding. Hide the sound. Produce the sound of noon from your nose. إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. Right? Yes. There is no other rule. Only the mad. تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. The wow mad. وَيَأْتُوكُمْ. Again, wow mad. وَيَأْتُوكُمْ. Now here, mim sakin, we have يَأْتُوكُمْ. Ends with mim sakin. Next word starts with mim. Mim sakin, please. Mim mutaharrik. إِذْغَام مِثْلَيْن. You have to merge them and prolong the sound for two beats and also produce the sound from your nose. Nasal sound.
وَيَأْتُوكُمْ
مِن. Nun sakin plus fa. Fa matches the ikhfa letters, as I told you, in what? In tasbiru. Ikhfa, hide the sound.
وَيَأْتُوكُمْ مِنْ ثَوْرِهِمْ هَذَا يُمْدِدْكُمْ يُمْدِدْ.
Echo the sound. يُمْدِدْكُمْ
رَبُّكُمْ
رَبُّكُمْ. Mim sakin. For mim sakin, we have three important rules. One, إِدْغَام مِثْلَيْن. Two, إِخْفَى شَفَوِي. إِخْفَى, the hiding sound. Three, the
إقلاب.
إظهار. No changes. Meme. Just read it, yes.
Yeah.
So if you have mim sakin plus ba, you do
إخفَى.
No إقلاب. إقلاب was for nun sakin plus ba. So here you hide the sound. رَبُّكُمْ. Hide the sound of mim. Ah, when you pronounce the mim, your lips touch together, right? But when you do the إخفَى of mim, your lips try to touch, but don't let them touch.
رَبُّكُمْ.
Don't let them touch. رَبُّكُمْ. That's it. Like a piece of paper, just a space, okay, for a piece of paper between your lips. Lip. Make that a space. So, what?
رَبُّكُمْ بِخَمْسَةِ آلافٍ من الملأ. آلافٍ
فين ميم. فين plus ميم. فيم. تنوين plus ميم. إدغام merge them. فيم.
غنة.
Yeah, غنة also, mashallah. The nasal sound. من الملائكة. ملائكة, مد is واجب. Stretch it for six counts. Five, six counts. مسوّمين. وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ. For the word Allah, how to pronounce it, how to read it, either Allah or Allah, we had two rules. If you got a kasra before the word Allah is pronounced like an A sound, with an A sound. بِسْمِ اللَّهِ. بِاللَّهِ. فِي اللَّهِ. لِلَّهِ. Right? You have لِلَّهِ. But if you have fatha or kasra or dhamma, you pronounce it with an
heavy sound.
A heavy sound with an A sound. Allah. Allahu Akbar. Allahumma. Right?
Yes.
So here also, جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَى لَكُمْ. بُشْرَى, heavy sound. لَكُمْ وَلِتَطَى تَطَى تَطَى. What?
قَلْقَلَ.
تَطَى مَا إِنَّ. Yes. وَلِتَطَى مَا إِنَّ قُلُوبُكُمْ بِهِ. قُلُوبُكُمْ بِهِ. Again, mim here, ikhfa. قُلُوبُكُمْ بِهِ. Because the little ba is there. So, qila tells you it's better to stop here. وَمَن نَصْرُ نُن سَاكِنُ مُشَدَّدْ. وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. مِنْ نُن سَاكِنُ plus عَيْن. عَيْن matches the ilhar letters. Do not change anything. Just read the nun. مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Aha, dal matches the letter ta, fa.
Rest of the letters.
Yeah, the rest of the letters. So hide the sound. عِنْدِلَّهِ. Look. عِنْدِلَّهِ. Allah is pronounced with an A sound. لَه. الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. That's it. Let's recite these two verses together. I'll recite. Make sure you listen and repeat after me. All right? Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, as you're listening, please repeat as well and practice. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بلى
بلى
إن تصبروا وتتقوا ويأتوكم من فورهم هذا يمددكم ربكم يمددكم ربكم بخمسة آلاف من الملائكة مسومين
يمددكم ربكم بخمسة آلاف من الملائكة مسومين
أحسنتم مسومين وي إي ساوند Good job We don't have A sound, okay? إي ساوند وما جعله الله إلا بشرى لكم ولتطمئن قلوبكم به
وما جعله الله إلا بشرى لكم ولتطمئن قلوبكم به
أحسنتم Right? First one is ta, the second one is ta. Walintato. So if you make the qalqala sound of the ta, it becomes very easy for you. Walintato. So. Waman nasru illa min indillahi al-aziz al-hakim.
وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِندِ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ
صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ
صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ
أَحْسَنْتُمْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ اللَّهُ bless you we practiced the tajweed rules we mentioned them And we also practice the recitation. That's all from us for today. Inshallah, the next session will continue towards the next verses or ayat of Surah Ali Imran. Stay with IRB English Radio, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Thank you so much for being with us. Thanks to Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasser for being with us. See you, inshallah. Nothing to say?
No, sir.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.